Chapter 2. It was approximately noon when Sarah tried the green metal door with an eye hole in the middle. It was open. A pair of chimes tinkled as she pushed the door inward. "Hello? Just a minute," someone called from a back room. She was in a carpeted foyer with an aquarium gurgling softly beneath the barred sunken window. The aquarium was large, at least 100 gallons, and contained a dazzling display of coral, sea cucumbers, spider-like crabs, and other colorful denizens. The floor was covered with thick, charcoal-colored nap. The room had been furnished with a comfortable old leather sofa, a teak coffee table, and an overstuffed chair. Examples of Japanese brush painting adorned one wall. Another wall was covered with swords, dozens of them nestling in hand-finished padded oak arches. A beaded curtain separated the foyer from a hall. The beads parted and a man came through, bringing with him the fresh chill of the outdoors, as if he'd just stepped in from the Colorado Rockies. He was about 5'9", late 20s/early 30s, with close-cropped dense blondish-brown hair, wire-rimmed glasses, and gray-blue eyes which went from Sarah's face to the badge on her belt and back again. He grinned disarmingly. "What can I do for you?" "Detective Pezzini, Homicide South. I'm investigating the death of your neighbor, Thaddeus Bachman." "You are?" The man's mouth opened and he stalled as he tried to digest the news. "Thad is dead?" "Yes, sir. We received an anonymous tip this morning." "May I have your name?"
"David Copkind."
"I can't believe it.
What happened?"
"We're not exactly sure yet, Mr. Copkind. That's what we're trying to determine. When was the last time you saw Mr. Bachman alive?"
Copkind slumped in the chair.
"Last week sometime. He used to send me clients. He phoned me Friday, said he was sending me a client and begged me to move him up the list." Sarah sat on the sofa, removed her notepad and a pen.
"What list?"
"I'm a sword polisher. It takes about 2 weeks to polish a sword, and I'm currently booked about 3 years out. I rarely make exceptions. Nobody likes a line cutter."
"You actually make a living at this?"
"You bet. There are enough collectors in Manhattan alone to keep me busy for the rest of my life. So you know something about swords?"
Again, the disarming grin. Sarah stifled an impulse to grin back.
"A little. I'd be happy to tell you anything you want to know." The curtains parted and a large orange tabby cat came through, snarling and yawning. It made a beeline for Sarah and jumped up into her lap before she had a chance to move.
"Yoshi.
No." The sword polisher hissed, getting up from his chair and reaching for the cat. Sarah resisted an impulse to pet. She liked cats. But she was on the job. And the damned thing was covering her jeans in hair. She allowed Copkind to lift the cat off her thighs, his fingers just brushing.
"Sorry," he grinned.
"Yoshi's on patrol." He shooed it back behind the curtains. "No problem." "Did Bachman have any enemies?"
"Maybe other antique dealers who were jealous. Thad was famous for obtaining rare Japanese swords, particularly the work of Masamune and his top rival Muramasa, both of whom were active in the 14th century. Those swords are virtually priceless."
"Hmm," Sarah mused. "I guess if people are willing to cut each other up for 10 bucks worth of crack, a priceless sword is good a reason as any."
"That's a beautiful bracelet," Copkind said.
"Where did you get it?"
Sarah looked down with a touch of alarm. He was staring right at the witchblade, a piece of platinum rococo with a large vermilion stone, nesting on her wrist.
"Old family heirloom."
Copkind was across the room on one knee.
"May I see?"
She permitted him to examine the strange band, holding her slender wrist, feeling his heat for 1 second before shaking him off.
"Mr. Copkind, this is a murder investigation. Please sit down and answer my questions."
The sword polisher resumed his seat.
"Sorry.
Would you like something to drink?"
"A cup of tea?"
She would, like, a cup of tea. But she refused to let down her professional guard.
"Some other time perhaps." "Are you aware of Mr. Bachman acquiring any valuable swords recently? Something that might prompt this crime?"
"Well, he did phone me, and when I asked him who the client was, he said he couldn't tell me, just to get ready cause the guy would make it worth my while. That's another thing. I try not to let money sway me. I would have had to tell his client that I won't move him to the front of the line. My only exceptions are for humanitarian reasons."
Sarah set down the notepad. "What possible humanitarian reasons could there be that would cause you to alter your routine?"
Copkind leaned forward and touched his fingers together between his knees. "Last year, a big-time industrial Japanese player was forced to downsize. They had to lay off 1,200 workers, workers whom they'd promised employment for life. The CEO who made this decision realized that there was only one way for him to atone for his shame. I made an exception for him. Sarah hung fire for a second. Do you mean he used the sword to commit suicide? Copkind nodded. You bumped his sword to the head of the line so he could kill himself? Copkind spread his hands. You can't judge him by Western standards. Suicide is not a form of mental illness in Japan. Often, it is the only honorable course of action. He did not actually wield the sword himself. That was done by a subordinate. He used his short sword, his tanto, to disembowel himself while Sarah held up a hand. I get the idea. Here's my card. Gimme one of yours. Are these swords valuable? They're priceless. Sotheby's sold an authenticated Masamune last year for $3.5 million. Not that it mattered. Sarah had learned that people will kill for any reason or no reason. Greed just helped her make sense of the crime. The nature of the crime precluded gangbangers and other low-level criminals. Sarah inquired further, does it take extraordinary skill to behead a man like that? Copkind nodded. You can't just pick up a sword and start slicing. If an ordinary man picked up a katana and tried to cut someone's head off with one blow, he wouldn't get very far. He may kill the guy, but it would be a mess. It takes incredible skill, focus, and training. The ancient samurai used to test their blades on live criminals. Once you dipped your sword in a person of low station, you had to purify it. All the great swords were baptized in blood. Are you aware of Bachman taking possession of any extremely valuable swords recently? Again the shrug. Sarah decided Copkind had an aushucks demeanor, and might have originated on a farm upstate. That's what he did for a living. I imagine his inventory is worth maybe 50 million. That's a pretty informed guess. I'm a pretty informed observer. We were friends. We visited each other's shops, although I wish I'd stopped in recently. I don't know. Not that I could have made a difference. You don't expect these things to happen in your own neighborhood. Sarah stood. Nobody does. Thanks for your time, Mr. Copkind. If you can think of anything else, you have my card. Copkind sprang to his feet. You bet. Maybe I can ask around too. You do that. Sosa was back on duty, looking anxiously down the street when Sarah returned. Any luck, Mr. Sosa? She asked. Nobody saw anything. It's a circus down here. You got green-haired hermaphrodites on unicycles selling Girl Scout cookies. Nothing's out of the ordinary. What about you? Maybe a motive. Two crime techs came out of the brownstone wheeling a gurney with collapsible wheels atop which rested Bachman's remains encased in a rubber body bag like a big blood sausage. She waited until they passed, then went into the foyer and stood in the shop entrance. Koenig was peeling off his latex gloves and packing up his kit. Kim something waited patiently with her legs slightly spread, her plastic toolbox held in front. Find anything, Gerhard? Sarah asked. Nothing beyond that which you've already seen. For the amount of blood, it was a remarkably clean killing. Whoever did it left precious little of himself. No hairs. No fibers. No fingerprints. Didn't step in any blood. I got crime techs dusting all the doorknobs, but I doubt we'll find anything. I think the dealer let his killer into the shop. Sarah thanked him and booked.